You may be seated. So it was no coincidence that I decided to pick Psalms 91. Some of you got the prayer burst and some of you didn't get the prayer burst. I want to thank you. Actually, I want to thank you personally for praying for me in some of the most testing... Oh, they snapped up the picture. Over here on my left, on your right, this is a Mozambican spitting cobra right here. So if you look at the thickness, if you look at the coloration, that is an adolescent. It is the fourth most dangerous snake in all of Africa. What makes it so dangerous is not only can it bite and inject venom, it can spit venom up to about 10 feet. If it's a full grown, it can spit 10 feet. Something I didn't learn until after this whole fiasco with the snake. They never miss. Can you believe it? They never miss, these little creations of the Lord. Okay, so... Have you ever had one of those moments, I'm going to move this so that I can wander a little bit. Have you ever had one of those moments where your faith was being tested? If you haven't had one of those moments, you will eventually have one of those moments where your faith will be tested. This is one of those moments. Some of you have been waiting for the story. Some of you have no idea what's coming. For 5 years, I've been catching snakes. We live in a conservancy, or we lived in a conservancy, and that's a really special place in the Lowveld in South Africa, close to White River, where we have lots of snakes, we have monkeys, we have all sorts of serval cats, we have lots of wonderful wildlife, and we have some awful wildlife also. But because I've always been, you know, fascinated with snakes, and because, you know, I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie, for 5 years I've been catching snakes. So this isn't the first snake catch I've ever had. I've probably caught about 130 snakes. So lots and lots and lots of snakes I've caught. I've done it so many times. I mean, it literally just becomes the cell phone rings. I pick it up. Oh, there's a snake in so-and-so's office. So off I dart, grab all of my gear, and we go for it. This day was not like all of those days. I was at lunch. I was Laura and the boys were here in the United States, and so I was my roommate and I were putting together a sandwich, terribly nutritious. We decided for a potato salad sandwich because it just happened to be what we had in our fridge. So I had just put my sandwich together and I had just taken a bite, and the phone rings, and I'm like, it's lunchtime, really, people? So I pick up the phone. The snake has reappeared in Anne's kitchen, and I was like, oh no, can you help? I said, all right, I got it. So hung up the phone and off to Anne's kitchen. So from where I was, it's a quick jog to where I was going, and I was like, man, doggone it, gotta get there fast, because if the snake manages to disappear, it's gonna be very difficult to find him. Of all of the 130 catches, if you don't have eyes on the snake, if they disappear, man, you're out of luck. You're completely out of luck. And earlier on in the week, the previous Friday, I had been called and wasn't able to respond. I was working with my youth group. Actually, they're probably watching. Hi, Calvary. They're also Calvary. They asked me to wear a tie to my first service. In fact, they made this tie. So to honor them, I'm going to take a second and put on the tie. Hold on 1 second. I know, I feel silly wearing a tie, but we're going to do it for them. I'll see if I can get this. Oh, there we go. All right. That's it. Just like a very pastoral, wearing a tie and preaching. Okay. So they wrote all sorts of love notes on it, and they signed it for me, and they said, you need to wear it for your first sermon, and you need to wear it out in public. So I don't know what, like, in the Brea Mall. Like, what am I supposed to do? You know, youth groups. I mean, they had some other suggestions that I'm very glad they didn't go with itching powder. They're like, well, get him to wear it for his first sermon, and we'll slather it in itching powder so that, like, he's all uncomfortable for his first sermon. Yes, yes, feeling the love. Anyway, okay, so I was with my youth the Friday, so I wasn't able to catch this snake on Friday. So it's 1:15 in the afternoon. I'm just taking a bite of my sandwich. I dart off. I'm like, I need something in order to grab it. The first thing that I grab is a feather duster. Grab the feather duster. Right. Well, you don't want to use your hands, people. It was a microfiber feather duster, and it has serrated hooks under it to hold the microfiber cloth in. So without the microfiber cloth, it's a pointed stick. It's long. Well, it's not long enough, but it's long. And it's got the hooks to hold the snake. I was like, this is perfect. Grabbed it and I ran. So I get there to the kitchen and there's no one there. So I was like, okay, right. And still no one. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to enter, assuming that everyone is probably freaked out because of the snake. I enter and I can't find it. So I add a broom to my arsenal. I grab a broom. So now I've got feather duster in one hand, broom in the other hand, and I'm looking for the snake. Come on, snakey, come on. Can't see anything. I'm looking. I got, if it's disappeared again, I'm going to be so, like, here I am losing my lunch for a snake that's disappeared again. And Leon, who is our new maintenance manager, a wonderful man of God, shows up. And Anne's helper is also there. And she says, it's over there by the cutting boards. Now, she's petrified of snakes. I mean, she, like, doesn't even go into the house because she knows that there's a snake. Like, she's petrified. And I'm like, okay, good. So I said, what color is it? Because that's what you always ask. You always want to know, what color, what are we dealing with here? And she says, it's a small brown snake. And I was like, oh, perfect, right? Because a small brown snake typically is a red lip. And I'm like, red lip is going to be easy. I can do this with my eyes closed. So I go over to the cutting boards, and I'm prodding around with my feather duster, which is about this long, prodding with the feather duster, prodding. And then I see that color. And the moment I see the color and the thickness, I'm like, oh, no. That is not a red lip. That is dancing with death. That's the fourth most deadly snake in Africa. This is bad news. So I was like, oh no. I've sold my eye gear to protect my eyes. I don't have my snake bins are gone, gotten rid of my snake bins. And I'm like, oh my soul, this is gonna be interesting. But I'm like, I've done this so many times before, it's fine. So I grab a 5 liter, which I don't know how big is 5 liters. It's what, a cup, gallon and a half, 2 gallon tub. Now I normally have a bin that is this big. Right, but I've got my 5 gallon tub, and I'm like, I think I can get him into that, right? So I bring the tub over, open off the lid. I'm adjusting the first board. I mean, we're taking the first foray here, adjusting the first board, and it spits and hits my hand, right on the hand. Now, everyone asks, did it burn? They don't spit acid, they spit venom. But everybody manages to ask, did it burn? No, it didn't burn at all. So I'm like, oh, man. So I step back, and I'm like, Lord Jesus, we just ask for your protection in this moment. Thank you, Lord God, for protecting myself and for Leon and for everyone. And then I went back in, right? Now, I'll tell you later what I didn't pray, what I prayed over every other snake that I dealt with, what I didn't pray. We'll get to that. So as I'm making the second adjustment, right, because he's between the three boards, and he's not happy. I mean, he's hissing up a storm, and he's like, he's on a counter. So think almost chest height, which also makes it exceptionally dangerous when they're on the ground. It's harder for the spit to get up into the eye, right? And, you know, harder for them to strike through a shoe. When he's on the counter, he's like right up at chest level, right? So, second adjustment, and the spit goes right into my eyes. Both, full into both eyes. And I step back, and I'm like, my first thought is, I can't believe this is happening. This has not just happened. My second thought is, water! So I turn around in the kitchen, and I'm just washing my eyes. So then I reach into Anne's kitchen, don't even ask, in her fridge, milk in the eyes, water in the eyes. Now, it's painful. Like, if you've ever been maced full on in the face, you can kind of imagine how much this hurts. Very, exceptionally, exceedingly painful. So now, it feels like someone has pulled a white film over my face with big splotches in my vision. So I'm like, you're going down, snake. There's no way we're going to end this with me not catching you and putting you in that bin. So here I am. I finally managed to maneuver and to hold it onto the counter. But because I don't have my snake stick with me, I can't get him to move. So he's all unhappy about being held down, and I'm unhappy that I can't see, and my vision is starting to blur, and I'm just like, this is not happening. So I'm scooting him over. I'm trying to get him in. And then I said, you know what? Forget this. You know, I've gone about this completely backwards. Leon, keep an eye. Leon's behind me, by the way. This is his first snake catch. Oh, yes. Yes, this is his first snake catch, right? So I say, Leon, watch the snake. Make sure he doesn't get off the counter, but stand back. Because he must have, in the course of this whole engagement, he spit at me about 8 times. Each time he hits, thankfully, only one actually in the eyes, because he looks for the motion. When there's motion, when I moved my face to adjust the board, is when he saw my face and got it right into the eyes. So now, my left eye, which took the brunt of the venom, is really starting to hurt. So now I'm running to my office, which is, think, about a quarter mile. I'm running about a quarter mile with this eye closed and then this eye sporadically closed. Run, 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 open, run, 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 open, run, 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 open, run, run. Just enough to not fall on my face. And people are like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I am not okay. Run, 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 close, run, 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 close. Get back to the office, wash, 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 wash. Grab my snake stick and then lock. Oh, these are my snake jeans. These are the jeans I actually caught them with. I couldn't get the keys out of my pocket, right? Because it had hooked in through the lining. And I can't see well enough to unhook it. So I'm trying to unhook it, and I'm like, I'm losing valuable time here. Rip the keys out, open the door, grab the snake stick, lock up the office, wash the eyes again. And now the same process of running back over campus. Oh, eye open, eye closed, eye open, eye closed, eye open, eye closed. Get back. Now that I've got the right equipment, first brush, got it. Now, a snake stick is normally about this long, right? Keeping him further away from the body and the eyes and all that jazz. And I've used my snake stick enough. First grab, I've got him. So I'm like, ha, 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 got you. And again, I'm keeping this eye closed because it hurts so bad. Pull him into the tub. Boom. He pops out of the tub. Because it's a small little tub. I mean, he does not want to go in the tub. Pops right out of the tub. I'm just, no. So very quickly, again, snake stick, got him again. Put him back in the tub. This time I didn't let go entirely, so he pops himself out of the tub, but I've still got a hold of him. And I was like, snake! Again, searing pain in the vision, white across my eyes. Get him into the tub the third time. This time he wraps himself back over the back of the snake stick and holds on. And I was like, oh, that is it. Leon, I was like, I am done. I have given you 3 opportunities to go quietly. Game over. So Leon had actually gone to go find me some eye protection because this thing keeps spitting. So Leon is gone. Sean, who is our IT guy and security manager, is also with me. I say, Sean, step outside. So Sean steps outside. Let's just say the story ends with the snake will never have children. That's where the story ends. And then they take me up to the clinic. So a faith testing moment. My first thought was, I'm never going to get to see my beautiful wife again. And just like that, the crushing weight of my beautiful wife, and I'm never going to get to see her again. And fear, like just like the snake wants to reach up and choke me. And I'm like, no, I refuse to accept that. My second thought is, I'm going to have to learn how to play chess from memory. Like, I'm not going to be able to see a chessboard. I'm going to have to learn how to... These are serious thoughts, people. My third thought was, I'm not actually going to be able to see God's word again. I'll never be able to physically see his word again. And in just the wash of all of this moment that's just a tidal wave wanting to just destroy me in that moment, God had prepared me for this moment. He had prepared me carefully, deliberately, and specifically for this moment. A month before, my dad had said to me, you be careful. You've got 1 month left. You be very careful with snakes. Yes, my dad called it, right? The Spirit had dropped it into his heart, and he had shared it with me. And guess what? I was not with this snake. Anything but careful, right? And that week, I had a bit of an intense conversation with another pastor who was visiting. He was on spiritual retreat. He was fasting, and he was praying, and he was fasting, and he was praying, and he was going over the scriptures. And there was one specific message that he shared with me. He said, there's only 2 responses that one can have in a situation, and that is responding in fear or in faith. And you have to choose. You can't do both because they're opposites. They are complete opposites. You can either react in faith, saying, I know that God will see me through, or in fear, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And God had given me that message that Monday, like 2 days before we'd actually had the discussion a couple of times. We'd gone over the same, and the Holy Spirit had used this pastor, whose name was also Daniel, to share it with me again and again. And how it stuck with me was there was a part of the theology where I was like, I don't know if I agree with that, and I'm going to make sure that that aligns itself with God's word. And God had really impressed that upon my heart, react in faith. And I said, Lord, in faith, I know that you will see me through. And God gave me a scripture. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 17 was the scripture that God gave me. Well, now my eyes are closed because I can't see anything. And it is exceptionally painful. And they're taking me up to the clinic to be checked out to see how much damage is done. Hebrews 11, 17 is the scripture that God gives me in this moment. And it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He received the promises, and he was offering his unique son, the one that had been said, your seed will be traced through Isaac. He considered God to be able to even raise someone from the dead, and as an illustration, he did receive him back. Here, we often wonder, what on earth was it about Abraham's faith that allowed him to prepare the altar and to get Isaac, his son, his beloved son, the one who the righteous line would pass through? What was it about Abraham in this moment that allowed him to follow through to the point of raising the knife? And this is it. Abraham's faith right here said, even if I offer my son up, even if I have to kill him in this moment, God can raise him from the dead, and God will raise him from the dead, because God promised that the line will carry through Isaac. It's not another son. It's not an accident. If God has called me to do this, God will see it through. And it was in that moment that God gave me that picture to say, even if my eyesight is completely lost, even if my eyesight is just absolutely gone and I can see nothing, God can restore. Amen? We serve a God who is mighty and powerful and who is not bound to physical laws like we are. Right? And it was that seed of faith that held me through and allowed me to come through this testing stronger as opposed to weaker. The other scripture that I'd like you to actually turn with me to is Isaiah 41:10. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 41:10. What would I do without this wonderful wife of mine? Shameless plug for wonderful wifeies. Isaiah 41:10. The Lord is actually speaking about judgment on the nations. It's actually a wonderful chapter. But he breaks from what he is doing in 41. He's talking about judgment that is coming to speak directly to Israel. He kind of shifts gears in the middle of the chapter and he says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. And even though it's not a personal promise to you and I, the principle is the same for you and I. The principle carries through into our lives. God will uphold us. When things go wrong, God will uphold us. It's so easy to have faith in the Lord when everything is running smoothly. We have lots of money in the bank, and the kids are well fed, and everyone is healthy, and everything is smooth sailing. It's so easy to trust God when everything is smooth. But what happens when things are not going so smooth? Ministry is not going so well. Difficulty has come, and the cobra has spit, and you've got it all in the face. Will you trust then? Do not be afraid, for I am with you. 336 times in God's word, it talks about fear. Now, it's a variety of different things that it talks about specifically, but there's about 10 different times it specifically tells us, commands us, do not fear. Fear not. I am with you. I will go before you. I will be your rear guard. I am with you. And when we hold on to that, it doesn't matter what the outcome is, because we have the Lord. So it was about four hours of sitting on the bed up at the clinic with my feet up, ice packs up to my eyes, wash, antibiotic ointment, and the pain. Just the thing with this venom specifically is when you lay back, right, it puts the pressure back on the cornea. And so laying back and trying to get comfortable is the worst thing you can do. So I literally for 4 hours sat up on the bed rocking, holding the ice pack to my eyes. And you know the hardest part of this entire story? We're not even at the hardest part of the whole story. What was the hardest part of the whole story? Telling Laura. Oh, yes. That was murder. That was so bad. So again, I can't even see well enough to type a text message. I can't even text message Laura. So my students, this is a really neat thing for the faithfulness of my students. I have some mission students that I'm really close with, and they did not leave my side. How cool was that? There's all sorts of things that they could have been doing with their time, and they didn't leave my side. They stayed with me the whole time, even when I couldn't speak. Yeah, give them a round of applause for faithfulness. So I had one of the students, Donovan, send Laura a message. Tell her I need her to Skype me when she gets up. Because this all happened at 1 in the afternoon, so it's right in the middle of the night. So again, 4 hours of anticipating, what am I going to say to my beautiful bride? And the thing with this venom also is you don't know for about 12 hours. You have no idea how it's going to land. There's the spectrum of some people completely lose their vision, as in you are now blind and can see nothing, legally blind. And then there are some people, no damage. Where are you going to fall? So thankfully, the end of the story is I got checked up the next morning, and there is no damage to my cornea. Praise God, huh? What the enemy would love to use for evil, God uses for good. Three people. My secret prayer in my heart was, God, please let my vision not only return, but let it be better than it was before. That was my secret wish. Not like for superpowers or anything, but just for my vision to be better than it was before. I'll tell you one thing. My eyes have never been cleaner in all my life. Three separate people prayed that same prayer over me when they laid hands on me and prayed for me for my vision to not only return, but to be stronger and to be better. And when I left the Lohfeldt, I could see all the way up to the top of the mountain. I could see the white pole on the top of Legagot Mountain. I've never remembered, other than like hiking up to the pole, I've never remembered seeing it before. When I left, I could see that pole. Amen? So there are three very simple lessons here that God wants us to take and to glean. I have to see, how am I doing time-wise? Have I got another hour? How are we doing? Let's skip to the lesson part. Are you ready? Very deep spiritual lesson. Lesson number one, never take a feather duster to do a snake stick's job. The right tool for the right job. Right. In that same thought, when I was praying about what God wanted us, all of us, to see, because the moment happened to me, and I wouldn't wish it on any of you, because it was awful. It was painful. Like, God didn't spare me the pain. God allowed me to go through that pain, and it was horrendous. Even the next day, well, when I Skyped with Laura that night, she says it looked like someone had punched me right in the eye, because they were so puffy and so red and so, yeah. The next day, I could actually open my eyes, and I was like, everything's bright and difficult, but I could kind of see. When I was asking the Lord, what specifically does he want all of us to learn from this? Never take a feather duster to do a snake stick's job. What is your job? Not what you get paid to do. What is your calling specifically? What is God calling you to do? Where are you a snake stick and where are you a feather duster? Right? As long as we continue to call and to ask people to do what they're not made to do, you will be frustrated, we'll be frustrated, everyone will be frustrated. When the entire family of God comes together, there's a wonderful whole message maybe for next week. A whole chapter of scripture in Corinthians we could talk about when it talks about the body and its functions. What is your function in the family of Christ? Right? There isn't a place in scripture where I can see your function is to warm that pew. I don't see it anywhere. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's not for us to sit back and to wait. For us to engage and to do. What is your calling? And are you being faithful to that calling? And if you don't know what that calling is, let's take some time to pray and to figure out exactly what God is calling you to do. The second lesson, and we've touched on this a little bit throughout the story, our response in difficulty and in testing needs to be faith and not fear. Faith and not fear. They are opposites. We cannot have them both at the same time. You cannot be both afraid and be walking in faith at the same time. When we walk in faith, it's not the absence of difficulty. It's the pressing through difficulty, saying, Lord, I know that even in the darkest times, in the hardest and darkest valley of the shadow, you will be with me. And at the end of that testing, I will be proved to be faithful and you will be given glory. Amen? I was told, I don't know because I'm not actually a construction guy or a bridge worker, but when they build a bridge, a large concrete bridge, what they do right after having completed it, once it's completely set, they take really heavy machinery and equipment, and they don't just drive it across the bridge, they stop it on the bridge. They stop really heavy machinery on the bridge. Why? To make it fall and to destroy what they've just built? To prove the faithfulness and the trustworthiness of the bridge. And that is what God does with us and for us. To prove our faithfulness, He puts us through things to show us not only what we're made of, but Him in action through us. Even in the midst of our frailty and our feathery dustiness. You can quote me on that. That's it. Faith, not fear. The third lesson, and this one came afterwards. This was an afterglow lesson. Are you ready for this? Are we grateful for the blessings that we have? Turn with me to Psalms 100. It's a really short one, but it's such a good one. Psalms 100. Psalms 100 says this, "Shout triumphantly unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that Yahweh is God. He made us and we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For Yahweh is good and His love is eternal. His faithfulness endures through all generations." Amen. I was so grateful the next day that I could see. Everybody I bumped into, I'm so grateful that I can see. I'm so grateful that I can read. I'm so grateful for my vision, something I was never grateful for before. I'm now grateful for. And it is, for those of you that have friends that are blind, it's really tough to not be able to see, especially for a sighted person to transition into not having sight. Man, that's really tough. What other things are we passing by every single day that we ought to be grateful for? For our spouse. For God's love for us. That we're healthy. For another year where we can honor Him. For a country where we're free to worship Him. All of these wonderful things that we need to be grateful for and thankful for. Let us continue to be thankful for. The last thought that God laid on my heart for this specific message is faith a daily expression for you, or is it just a really good insurance policy? Right? This is the insurance policy moment. Dear Lord in heaven, I have venom in my eyes. Please help. And He did, right? But we ought not to only call upon Him in trial, in difficulty, when we're going through the valley of the shadow. But are we calling upon Him constantly, consistently, and faithfully each day? Are you expressing your faith each day? Or is faith something for Sundays? Which is it? I'm going to borrow an illustration from Wayne Bauer, if he's watching. The quote goes to Wayne. He's a wonderful pastor of a vineyard church in South Africa, a lovely man of God. He calls it Wi-Fi Christianity. In the Old Testament, the men of God would, for a season, for a time, and for a task, would receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and they would do something mighty and wonderful, powerful, but then the Spirit would leave and move on. And then there would be a time of waiting or of whatever it was. And then the need would arise again and the filling of the Holy Spirit would come again. And they would do something, like ripping the gates off of the city or delivering Israel, all of those things. But it wasn't their daily expression of being filled with the Spirit. It was for a moment and for a task. It's the old covenant. For those of you that have Wi-Fi, right? Constantly wirelessly available to you all the time, right? I can't believe it that in my house now, my TV can talk to my VCR, which is not a VCR, it's a Blu-ray player, which can talk to my printer, which can talk to my whatever it is, which can remind me to have breakfast. I mean, seriously, like all of these things are, you laugh! We were given a Galaxy tablet. I didn't buy it. We were given it. It's wonderful. It's amazing. But We hadn't typed anything into it. Like, I hadn't put any reminders in it, but it was reminding us of something we needed to do. And I was like, how did it know to remind me? Wirelessly, they talk to each other. And this is, I know, creepy. I know, like, oh, my soul. But use that same analogy for your relationship with God right now. God is the Wi-Fi around us every single day and every single moment, whether you're stuck in traffic or whether you're in the direst of needs and we need to call upon Him. We don't need to, you know, get charged up and then go in and do something godly. He is constantly wirelessly available to us all the time. And when we think about it like that, how many God moments are available to us? Infinite, right? This was a God moment. You know, my eyes were not damaged in the slightest bit, which medically is quite significant, right? Every single day we have those opportunities, not to be spit at, right? Unless you're working with youth, right? But those opportunities, some of us are working with some pretty hard youth, you know what I'm saying? Love you, youth group. We constantly have the presence of God. And just as the song reminds us, the power that raised Jesus from the grave is available to us right now. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? Let's do something with it. So, the last thing I want to do and pray over us and invite the worship team and the prayer team to come on up is to say, your need doesn't have to be great in order to come before the Lord and to say, Lord, I need these things. These are the things that I need. I've got hurt. This is the wink, wink, nudge, nudge worship team coming up. I'm actually closing. I'm not winding up again. I'm winding down. Honest. Promise. Whatever your need is today, don't let today pass you by. Bring it before the Lord this morning. It can be praising God for what He's done this week. It can be, man, you know, I'm spoke with someone that was $1,000 short on their rent. It's not anything I can help with, but we know someone that can, right? God is able to meet all of our needs, the little ones all the way up to the big ones. Don't miss this opportunity this morning to connect with Him in a special wirelessly connected way and to invite Him into your week throughout the week. So I'm going to pray a quick prayer and invite the prayer team to come on up. If they're not here, I'll happily and with joy pray over you. Please don't miss this opportunity to feel the touch of the Lord this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for Your love that You lavish on us. We thank You for Your care for each aspect of our life, Lord God. We thank You that You are our healer. Truly, You are our healer. We thank You, Lord God, that You are powerful and that You are brave. We thank You, Lord God, that when there are mountains that we just cannot climb, where we just do not have any strength, You are the strength in our bones. We thank You, Lord God, that we can bring all of these things before Your throne as Your kids. We thank You in Jesus' name.